August 28th, 1927.
Okay, and when did you buy your furniture?
August, before we were married.
Oh yeah, you went to Kaufman's, right? Yeah. And why did you go to Kaufman's?
And all of this will be 60 years old, in this room.
And you went to Kaufman's because your brother worked there?
Yeah. He took us to the rug department. I have a Chinese rug in my bedroom. It was taken out of the window. It was on display. And the buyer said, I have no reason to reduce this. But he said, I can say it faded a little bit. And he gave us a good price. This one didn't even have the price tag on it. We paid $205 for this. After we moved here, I went back and I wanted another rug. And I went back. By that time, Oriental rugs were not fashionable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the same buyer and introduced myself. My brother wasn't there anymore. And told him that I'd like to know if they had anything. He said, I have one that wasn't as big as I wanted, that one that's in the mm-hmm. living room. But he said, it's been cleaned three times, and we paid $185 for that. And that we bought in 1943.
They're hand-woven orientals.
Yeah, they're all, they're, this is a Gauravan, and that's a Hamadan.
Okay. And you got the furniture and you set up housekeeping. Now, what we want to talk about, now that we're ending up, is how do you feel about the Jewish community today, about the children, you know, young people and their Jewish identification, and what is happening with the Judaism and the changes that you've seen between the way you raised your children and the children
well, I think there are a lot of changes. I think that people are more involved today than they ever were. In the early days, the women stayed home and took care of their families, most of them, and didn't have time to devote to a lot of organizations. Although my mother did the work of a social worker, we had some poor relatives. And when I mean say poor, I mean poor. That people would give my mother money and food. She had a cousin that had a restaurant, the only kosher restaurant in Pittsburgh called Myers Restaurant.
Myers, where was it?
912 Fifth Avenue.
912 Fifth Avenue.
And she would give my mother groceries and things, and they never asked my mother who it went to, and she, for holidays and things, she distributed food.
Mm-hmm. What synagogue did you always belong to?
What?
What synagogue did you belong to? Where did you, which shul?
Oh, my father was the one of the charter members of the, I think you had that in that paper,
yeah.
The Beth Medrash HaGadol.
Up in the hill?
No, it was downtown.
Oh, downtown. Is that the one that's up there?
It ended up on Washington Street, but it was torn down, you know, during the Renaissance.
And they put another one
up downtown. Mm-hmm. There's another one downtown.
Mm-hmm. And then which did you and Dr. Isaacs belong to?
Well, when he came to Pittsburgh, his brother, who had been here 3 years, told him that he had a student whose father had a butcher shop on Center Avenue, and he should go up there and find out if he could find a place for him to eat, like a kosher boarding
mm-hmm.
house. So his name was Hausman. And Asher went up there, it was on Center Avenue,
mm-hmm.
because his brother had a son as a student. So he says, well, I'll do what I can and I'll let you know. So he contacted Asher and he said, on Saturday, There's a little shul on Beacon Street called Prophet's Chaim. You go to that shul and ask for a man named A.J. Cohen. Mm-hmm. And you'll get kosher food. So this, he Saturday went to this mm-hmm. shul, and he found this A.J. Cohen who lived on Phillips Avenue.
What did he do?
He took him home for a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Asher realized immediately that it was not a boarding house. And they invited him, oh, I don't know, a number of times for meals. But he would send them a basket of fruit or something like that. But he just didn't feel that he wanted to take advantage of them. The husband was ultra-Orthodox. He used to sit up and study all night with Rabbi Ashinsky.
Mm-hmm.
But then he found a woman in Oakland that was serving kosher meals. And he had his meals there. And he lived in on the third floor rented room around the corner from here.
On Whiten.
Hmm?
On Whiten Street.
No, it was on Forbes.
Oh.
At Whiten around the corner.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think about what's happening in Squirrel Hill?
Well, Squirrel Hill has changed. When we moved out here in 1923, and it was like moving into the country.
Is that right?
This was considered a very exclusive neighborhood. Edgar Kaufman lived across the street. And when Oliver Kaufman got married, he subletted a duplex furnished at the corner of Darlington and Whiteman.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of vacant lots around here at that time.
So you watched them being built, right?
Yeah. When we moved here, when I went to Colfax, our science teacher took us up to Hobart and Whiteman Street where there was a surface coal mine. Did you know that?
In Hobart?
Hobart and Whiteman Street. It was soft coal, that's anthracite.
Soft.
And it ignited very easily, and a couple of the miners, it was in the winter time, and they decided to build a little fire. They built a little fire, and they thought they got it out, but they didn't, and it began to burn down, and it was spreading. And the city decided the only thing they could do would be they dug a ravine, I guess you would call it, about 20 feet deep and the width of two automobiles. They used to say the width of two wagons. And they poured concrete down there to prevent this fire from spreading. It's all filled in ground up there at Whiteman and Hobart.
Exactly. They said it was a coal mine where I live on Police
Street.
It was
the surface coal mine.
Mm-hmm. That's something. So you watched it all growing
yeah.
up?
At the corner of the Whiteman and Hobart was a big empty lot, and the circus used to come up there every year.
Is that right?
Did the circus perform there?
Hmm?
The circus didn't perform there, did they?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, the circus.
Put up tents.
What did they call the field?
Hmm?
What did they call the field?
I don't know.
Put up tents and...
Tents and...
What about, did they have the Forbes Street stores then?
No. There was one fruit store up on Murray Avenue between Darlington and Forbes, an Italian fruit store. There was a ice cream parlor where the Beacon Pharmacy is now. There was a movie on Forbes Street. By the way, the Squirrel Hill Coalition wanted to know if anybody knew what was behind Isley's, because they found a stage, and that's where the movie was, where Isley's is closed up now, you know. It was the movie, and there was a...
It was a theater, movie.
Movie,
yes.
And there was a post office on Forbes Street. There was one kosher butcher shop on Forward Avenue.
Well, you mean there weren't primarily Jewish people here?
No, you see, the Jewish people that lived down where when my father came here, he lived on Water Street. And down around in there is where the Jewish people lived.
Downtown.
Then they began to move up onto Center Avenue and Wiley Avenue. Now, they both run into Fifth Avenue. And they began moving up that hill. And they opened up stores and so on and so forth.
Logan Street and Wiley Street.
Well, Logan Street was where the groceries were. They opened up, they had butcher shops and different, you know, they were all Jewishly, Jewish shops.
Where the bakery and dry goods.
Now, the people, as I said, they started moving up the hill, and we didn't have refrigeration in those days. We had an ice man that came every day, and so that you couldn't store your food. So what we did, my mother had our big meal at 12 o'clock every day. And she'd get cleaned up and then go shopping for the next day. We had meat every day for lunch. And I used to fall asleep in high school every afternoon, and I'd say, gee, I'm sleepy. I didn't know I was I was auto-intoxicated. And when I graduated, they gave me a little pillow.
Oh,
and on it, it was written, gee, I'm sleepy. I was never good in my afternoon classes.
Funny.
Now, when Asher was teaching, I could never serve him a heavy meal. He taught two nights a week because he felt that he could think better on dairy dinner. Well, then the people, as they prospered, moved to Oakland. And then from Oakland, they moved to East Liberty. And subsequently, they moved to Squirrel Hill. Now, if my figures are right, the last census that I read, 60% of the Jews live in Squirrel Hill. 20% lived in East Liberty. 10% lived in Oakland. And the other was scattered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may have changed now because with the apartment buildings and all,
I think they're granting our population.
Moved back into Oakland.
We want you to tell us about the picture now.
Was there any other groups? Or
any other clubs? Tell us about the Quarry Club.
A group of us got together and formed the Quarry Club, and we met every other Friday night in each other's homes. And we walked. Nobody had a car. And we walked Oakland and back. But we walked Oakland to go to the library, because the other library that when we lived on Marion Street was on Lolly Avenue. We didn't think anything of walking. Just to go up and walk and come back with six books. And I took piano lessons, and I walked to Webster Avenue for my lesson. You know where that is? From Marion Street down near the Mercy Hospital. We never thought of ever riding into town. On Jewish holidays, my sister Nellie and I used to go to Heinz's. You know where Washington Street is? Down. You walked at the end of Washington Street, there was a tunnel. You walked down some steps and through the tunnel and came out to Heinz's. And we used to go, they used to serve tomato juice and pickles and stuff like that. That was one of our activities as children. Now, in those days, I don't know if you want to go into that. Most of the houses were illuminated by gas. And periodically, these peddlers would come around selling gas mantles called Welsbach mantles. They were made out of a very thin layer of asbestos. You remember that? They were about 4 inches high and about the width of a walnut. Mm-hmm. And they were very delicate. And we used to have about 5 in our chandeliers in the kitchen and the dining room. Mm-hmm. And we had a big house. And the middle bedroom had 2 double beds in it. And my sister and I, we were small children. My sister Nellie and I slept in one bed, and my 2 brothers that were next to us in age slept in the other bed. And periodically we would get into pillow fights. You know, we used to toss the pillows and jump on the bed. And the next thing you know, my father and mother would be coming upstairs, the mantles are breaking. It was at 1920 that my father had our house wired for electricity. Very few houses had electricity in those days. Now, it was so dirty in Pittsburgh that we washed our kitchen curtains once a week. Every morning when you would get up, you would see the ore dust from the mills that would be on the sidewalk. It was like a sheet of silver. You had to sweep your steps every day. And the men wore celluloid collars that they could take off and wash during the day. Now, I want to tell you about, since this publicity came out about the bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Would you remember about the bluff?
Sure.
But you lived on the north side.
Yeah, my father's first place was on the bluff.
Then you know about the bluff. But the bluff was, I would say, from approximately Gister, Jamonville Street down, it was, would go down, I think, past Duquesne University, which at that time was called Holy Ghost College.
You know the Schultz family? Did you know the Schultz family?
Sure.
Eddie Schultz.
Lawrence.
Eddie's brother died in Duquesne. And there was Feinberg lived there?
Yeah.
My father had a room with Mrs. Schultz when he first came.
Well, the block was called the Riverside Drive of Pittsburgh. They had an iron railing there over the edge of the cliff and park benches. And in the summertime, people would stroll up there. And my mother got my sister and me roller skates for green stamps, and we used to go up there and roller skate because there was no traffic up there, because at that time there were very few automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I don't have to tell you that this was Indian territory. At the top of Marion Street, where we lived, there was a pair of wooden steps that went down the hill to 2nd Avenue. Now, halfway down these steps was an Indian cave. And the boys used to go in there and play. And they found flints and little relics there. Now, when the Boulevard of the Allies was built, they sliced all of that hillside off, and I don't know, there may be a slight remnant left of the cave, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's changing.
You know, my father used to take my sister and me to the zoo once a year.
To the same place as it is now?
Yep.
How'd you get there?
On a streetcar.
Okay, now before we close, I did want to ask you, what do you think about the teachers today, why we have so many problems, reading, dropouts and all? What do you think happens in education? What can we do to shape it up?
I think the problem is that our schools are not equipped to teach children that are slow or advanced. They are just taught to teach the average child. And I think that that's one of the big problems.
Yeah, but also, what do you think about now with the drugs and the drinking and the promiscuity? How does that, did you have that in the old days?
Well, not the drinking, but the kids used to sneak cigarettes. I had a brother that used to smoke, and actually, we had three in our family that died from smoking,
mm-hmm.
all in the early 40s. One had cancer of the throat. The other one died of a heart attack, and my brother had his liver.
Mm-hmm.
They were very heavy smokers.
Now, Lou Meyer's father, is he your younger brother?
But
Lou Meyer's father was what, your younger brother?
No, my father was the oldest of six children.
Oh. Lou Meyer's father's your uncle.
My mother and father were first cousins. My mother was the oldest of nine children, and my father was the oldest of six children. And he came, I think I told you why he came to Pittsburgh.
Lou?
My father. They lived in Lithuania, and the Russians, Lithuania was a pawn between Russia, Poland, and Germany,
mm-hmm.
and at that time it was owned by Poland.
Mm-hmm.
But the Russians marched in and took it over, and they made all of the men go into the Russian army, including my maternal grandfather, who was 26 years old and had three children. Now, he escaped, and how he escaped, I never really found out, and he settled in Buffalo. He came to Buffalo.
Yeah, you told us
told
that,
you
that history.
Now, when my father, as it was approaching 16, his mother was afraid that he would have to go in the Russian army. And she had a daughter that lived in Pittsburgh, a married daughter, and she sent him to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And that's how he came to Pittsburgh.
And what difference do you see in the way you raised your children the way Ruth Ann is raising hers?
What was that?
What difference do you see in the way you raised Ruth Ann and the way Ruth Ann is raised?
Well, no comparison. My parents had 12 children. They didn't all survive. And our parents stayed home at night. They didn't run around. They didn't go to card parties. They didn't entertain except the family, you know. There was a certain amount of organization work, but nothing like today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I really believe that we are over-organized today.
Too many clubs.
Too many duplications. And in my opinion, I feel that the fact that we have too many duplications, too much money is spent on administrative work.
You better believe it. Like the government. What do you think about the new Jewish Community Center being built up here?
Well, I feel that it's very important. And although I know some people feel that they weren't justified in pulling the old building down. They should have tried to build on top of it or extend it out. But their story was that it would have caused just as much to add to it as it would be to tear it down and put a new building up. Mm-hmm. I know some people said they're not going to contribute to it.
Mm. What do you think about how important do you think the Jewish life is with the national community, what we contribute?
In the
Jewish community is significant, you know, around here.
Well, I feel that people have gotten away from religious observance to a great extent. And in Pittsburgh, my brother-in-law, who was quite Orthodox, when he lived in Pittsburgh, he felt that a big drift came because of the rabbis. There was Rabbi Ashinsky and Rabbi Zivitz. Mm-hmm. And they disagreed on everything. Do you remember Rabbi Zivitz?
I remember Ashinsky. I heard it.
If Rabbi Ashinsky would say something wasn't kosher, the other one would say it would. And my brother-in-law was quite active in Jewish organizations in Pittsburgh. And he felt that conservative Judaism in Pittsburgh was a result of the conflict between these two Orthodox rabbis. That was his observance.
What do you think about the future? Any
I don't think I have much time to
think about the future. Any problems with Judaism?
I'm very unhappy about the way things are going. I feel that there's too much. I don't know how to express it. Too much finagling and money grabbing and politics. I think that a lot of our politicians are not honest. And
were they more honest in Charlie Klein's day?
What?
Were they more honest in Charlie Klein's day?
Charlie Klein?
And he was the mayor.
There were always dishonest people, and there were always people that were involved with women. And if this wouldn't offend you, I can tell. Don't put this down.
I won't.
When I was going to elementary school, do you remember the superintendent of school named Fisher? Heater?
Yeah.
Mr. Heater was the superintendent of schools when I was in elementary school. Now, I didn't even know what the kids were singing about. He was having a married man, and he was having an affair with a girl named Fisher, Ethel Fisher. And the kids made up a song. I didn't even know what it meant, but I sang it. Mr. Heater had a Peter, Ethel Fisher found it, and every night she went to bed, she wound her legs around it. I didn't even know what it meant.
That's funny.
Oh, my God, but she's still a teacher.
I was in elementary, I was a kid.
A kid, I see, yeah. But it was Mrs. Fisher,
was a
school teacher.
Kid.
Was Fisher a school teacher, the girlfriend?
I don't know what she was.
So you're saying everything's been going on like it used to be going on, but worse.
Well, these things have been going on since biblical times because of the commandments. And if, not that I'm a Talmud Chacham by a long shot, but in the Bible it says, man shall not lie with man, it's an abomination to the Lord. A woman shall not lie with a woman, it's an abomination to the Lord. A man shall not lie with an animal, because it's an abomination. And Asher said that people that worked on farms, that many times they relieved themselves on animals. Mm-hmm. And that's why these commandments were put in the Bible. So this goes back to biblical times. It's mm-hmm. nothing new.
Right. You got any solutions?
What?
You have any solutions?
I'm not King Solomon, I don't know. He had 1,000 wives to advise him.
What's that one?
No wonder he was so bright.
Do you see the way the grandchildren are being raised differently now? With
oh, sure. They have so much more freedom. They have... We amused ourselves by playing with dolls and jacks. We played ball and jacks and played tennis. I played tennis with my brother, and we roller skated. We didn't have all of these fancy equipments that the kids have today.
Mm-hmm.
You take a Fisher Price little toy, it's $15 or more. We didn't have things like that. We made our own pinwheels. We would take a piece of paper and cut the things and take a pin and stick it in, put it on a stick.
But you didn't have computers to play with.
No.
Boy, Dr. Isaacs would have liked those computers, huh?
I tell you, when I was working in the drugstore, you know, I didn't tell you that, but after Asher died, my brother-in-law, who has this drugstore at Millwood and Center, asked me to come to work for him. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, take care of my charge accounts. I said, well, I never did anything like that before. He said, well, I'll teach you. So I took care of his charge accounts, and I worked over 17 years.